Our next speaker is Chelsea Rayburn. She's an advanced epidemiologist with the Infectious Disease Epidemiology and Response Section at the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, where she serves as the Vaccine Preventable Disease Surveillance Coordinator and also the rabies epidemiologist. She has a degree in animal science from Kansas State University and an MPH from Kansas State University. I want to say that we're always interested to see what Kansas Department of Health has to say about rabies, because they have the most innovative and interesting studies that they've done over the years. So welcome, Chelsea.
Thank you. Is that too loud? I have a really loud voice, so let me know if I'm yelling. Rabies is a fatal zoonotic disease characterized by acute progressive encephalitis. From 2003 to 2014, 37 human cases of rabies have been reported in the United States, and this number is low due in part to the use of post-exposure prophylaxis, or PEP. It is estimated that over 23,000 courses of PEP is administered each year in the United States, and although rabies is nearly 100% fatal, it is 100% preventable through the use of proper PEP. Wild animals serve as the sole reservoirs for rabies in the United States, and skunks are the primary reservoir in Kansas. The Kansas State University Rabies Laboratory performs all diagnostic testing for Kansas and tests approximately 1,200 animals each year, resulting in about 70 positives. Vaccination of domestic animals, especially dogs and cats, provides a buffer to prevent potential transmission of rabies to humans. There is no statewide rabies vaccination law in Kansas, and local ordinances vary between cities and counties. In Kansas, we have 105 counties and 637 municipalities, and we do not have a centralized database to determine what each vaccination requirements are. But in 2011, KDHE did conduct a study and found that 10 counties in Kansas do require vaccination of domestic animals. However, we do not know what the ordinance are for the cities. In Kansas, any suspect or confirmed rabies case, human or animal, is to be reported to KDHE within 4 hours. And Kansas has a decentralized public health system. So what that means is the local health departments are responsible for conducting all infectious disease investigations for residents in their county. And for rabies investigations, the majority of work entails assessing for human and animals exposed to a rabid animal and for following up on animal contacts that have been exposed. Follow-up on animal contacts requires an extensive amount of time, from initiating a quarantine to checking on the animal throughout quarantine and then verifying the animal has survived a quarantine. So even though rabies doesn't have a rabies vaccination law in Kansas, there is a regulation outlining the management of animals exposed to rabies. And during the time frame for our study, management of animal contacts was as follows. Exposed animals that were current on a rabies vaccination, for which there is a licensed vaccine for that species, were to be immediately boosted and observed for 45 days. For exposed animals that were not current, and this included animals that were out of date, completely unvaccinated, or animals with an unknown vaccination status, they were either to be euthanized or quarantined for 6 months at a location determined by the local health officer. The Kansas State University Rabies Laboratory conducted a study which was published in January 2015 that compared antibody responses of dogs and cats currently vaccinated against rabies to dogs and cats that had an out-of-date vaccination status after being exposed to rabies. And the conclusions from the study showed that out-of-date dogs' antibody responses were not inferior to current dogs following a rabies booster. And the study authors recommended managing out-of-date dogs and cats the same as those with the current vaccination status following a rabies exposure. So our objective was to evaluate the outcome of animal contacts exposed to rabies to determine if the data supported the recommended changes on managing out-of-date dogs and cats. Kansas implemented use of a new electronic disease surveillance system, EpiTrax, in March of 2012, which has allowed us to document and extract investigation data. and we assessed all rabies positive animals reported to KDHE from January 2012 to December 2015 for animal contacts. Vaccination status, disposition, outcome, and type of exposure were evaluated for each animal contact. Vaccination status for the animal contacts were categorized as current if they had a documentation of receiving a licensed rabies vaccine in accordance with the rabies compendium vaccination schedule, out of date if they had received one or more rabies vaccinations in their life but were overdue for their next dose, and unvaccinated if there was no documentation to show they've ever received a rabies vaccination in their life. For disposition, animal contacts were either euthanized or underwent a six-month quarantine, which was defined as strict isolation with no contact with other animals and limited contact to humans. We assessed the outcomes of the exposed animals that underwent a six-month quarantine and categorized them into survived, lost to follow-up, the animal exhibited potential signs for rabies and was tested for rabies, and death by euthanasia or unrelated cause. Types of exposures were evaluated and defined as bite exposures and non-bite exposures. In addition to actual bites being observed or fresh wounds being present after being in contact with a rabid animal, animals that had a documented fight with a rabid animal were also considered bite exposures. Some examples of non-bite exposures included an exposed animal killing a rabid animal or a rabid animal was found in a small confined space with the animal contact. So from January 2012 to December 2015, we had 289 rabies positive animals that were reported to KDG. Of those, 7 had no information regarding assessment of human or animal contact, so they were excluded from the analysis, and this left 282 rabid animals with case investigation information. Of those, 165 had no contact with other animals and therefore were excluded, and this left 117 rabid animals that had at least one animal contact. We assessed further into the animal contacts of these rabid animals. Of these, 75% of animals that tested positive for rabies during this time frame were skunks, followed by livestock, which included one llama. There was a dog and cats, bats, and then other wildlife, which consisted of foxes and raccoons. 239 animals were identified as exposed to the 117 rabid animals. And 79% of the animal contacts consisted of dogs, followed by cats, then livestock. We assessed the vaccination status of these 239 animal contacts. Of these, 70 had a current rabies vaccination at time of exposure, so they were excluded from the analysis because we were interested in outcome of quarantine. This left 32 animal contacts that were out of date and 137 that had no documentation of ever receiving a rabies vaccination in their life. We evaluated these out of date and unvaccinated animals for disposition, outcome, and type of exposure. So of the 32 out-of-date animal contacts, 12 were exposed through a bite exposure and 20 were exposed through non-bite routes. 15 were euthanized and 17 underwent a six-month quarantine. Of those quarantined animals, 14 survived, 1 was lost to follow-up, 1 died, and that was because the owner decided to euthanize prior to the end of quarantine. 1 did exhibit signs compatible with rabies but was tested and came back negative. Of the unvaccinated animal contacts, 36 had bite exposures and 101 were exposed through non-bite routes. Of the 137, 103 were euthanized and 34 underwent a six-month quarantine. Of those in quarantine, 26 survived, 2 were lost to follow-up, 4 died, and 2 of those the owners decided to euthanize prior to end of quarantine, and 2 were hit by motor vehicles. 1 exhibited signs of rabies, but tested negative, and then 1 did exhibit signs and ended up testing positive. And this animal was a puppy that was attacked by a rabid skunk. So this graph here shows the disposition of all out-of-date and unvaccinated animal contacts by vaccination status and exposure type. The y-axis shows number of animal contacts, and the x-axis displays exposure type and vaccination status. For the out-of-date animal contacts, 8-bite exposures were euthanized, shown in blue. For the out-of-date contacts that were exposed through non-bite routes, 7 were euthanized, shown in blue, while 13 entered quarantine, shown in yellow. For the unvaccinated animal contacts, 31 animals with bite exposures and 72 with non-bite exposures were euthanized, shown in blue. This graph shows the outcome of animals that underwent a 6-month quarantine by vaccination status and exposure type. Again, number of animals is shown on the y-axis, and exposure type and vaccination status are shown on the x-axis. For the out-of-date animal contacts, 3 bite exposures and 11 non-bite exposures survived quarantine, shown in yellow. And then 1 bite exposure and 2 non-bite exposures died by other means, which I condensed this down. So this includes animals where the owners decided to euthanize prior to end of quarantine. They died of unrelated causes, or they exhibited signs and tested negative for rabies. And that's shown in red. For the unvaccinated animal contacts, 3 bite exposures survived, shown in yellow. 1 died by other means, shown in red, and 1 did exhibit signs of rabies and tested positive, shown in blue. For the unvaccinated contacts exposed via non-bite routes, 23 survived quarantine in yellow, and 6 died by other means, shown in red. So there were at least 3 limitations to this study. First, we were not able to evaluate exposed animals that were euthanized. This may have been why only 1 animal contact developed rabies. This could cause selection bias, and therefore the results might not be representative of the entire population. The second limitation is that we did not evaluate how long since receipt of last rabies vaccination or the number of rabies vaccinations that the out-of-date animals had prior to exposure. This might have played a role in why none of the out-of-date animals developed rabies. The third limitation is the potential use of animal rabies PEP. The Kansas State University Rabies Laboratory has recommended a series of rabies vaccinations for completely naive animals immediately following exposure. And this mimics the Texas protocol, but with shorter durations between each dose of vaccine. And depending on when rabies positive animals were reported to KDHE, we have recommended the Texas protocol or Kansas State University's protocol for exposed unvaccinated animals. But unfortunately, this information on these dates of vaccinations were not documented. And animals vaccinated immediately following exposure to rabies may have increased survival when compared to those that did not receive one of these protocols. So in summary, most of the unvaccinated animal contacts were euthanized immediately instead of being quarantined for 6 months. One of the reasons that this happened is a lot of people, the 6-month quarantine is not feasible for a lot of people. Quarantine location is determined by the local health officer, and some counties in Kansas require that the quarantine be conducted at a veterinarian's office. You can imagine how expensive that can be. Or if the quarantine is done at home, many of the local health departments have strict guidelines on quarantine structure, and the owners might not want to or cannot comply with those guidelines. In contrast to unvaccinated contacts, a higher proportion of out-of-date animals underwent a quarantine instead of euthanasia. For out-of-date contacts, more animals with bite exposures were euthanized immediately when compared to non-bite exposures. A thought as to why this occurred is veterinarians may have recommended euthanasia for animals with visible wounds or animals that got in a documented fight with a rabid animal. The most common type of exposure was through non-bite routes for both out-of-date and unvaccinated animal contacts. And since exposure route is one of the factors that plays a role in the development of disease, this may be another reason why a majority of animals survived quarantine. None of the out-of-date animals developed rabies during their 6-month quarantine, but we did have 1 unvaccinated animal that developed rabies after being exposed to a known rabid animal. This analysis and the work done by Kansas State University Rabies Laboratory, Texas, and the updated rabies compendium recommendations supports policy changes to manage out-of-date dog and cat contacts the same as those currently vaccinated against rabies. These changes would decrease the number of animals that require quarantine after exposure, to a rabid animal, which would therefore lessen local health department resources spent on following up with animals in quarantine and reducing the number of animals euthanized. Also, in March of this year, Kansas disseminated a memorandum to many stakeholders on the management of animals exposed to rabies that reflects the updated recommendations in the Rabies Compendium. And one of the significant changes is to manage out-of-date animal contacts similar to those that are currently vaccinated. And this serves as an interim guidance until our administrative regulation can be changed. I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Inger Garrison. She's our state public health veterinarian. And Sherry Tubach, she's the director of our infectious disease section in Kansas. The rest of my colleagues, the Kansas State University Rabies Laboratory, and local health departments. Thank you.
Hi, Bernadette Albanese from Colorado. Three quick questions. I'm curious about your one breakthrough.
Yeah.
Went back to 95%. Three questions. One, what is the KSU pet protocol? Two, what did that particular puppy receive in terms of boosting doses? And three, what was the timeline of the break?
Okay, so first question. Sorry, what was your first question?
It's the KSU pet protocol.
So their protocol is to vaccinate completely unvaccinated animals that have been exposed on day 0, day 7, and day 14. So very similar to human PEP. And your second one, sorry?
What happened with that puppy?
So actually what had happened, and we didn't find out until later, we had a rabid skunk that tested positive, and when the local health department conducted that contact assessment to see who animals or humans were exposed, nothing was brought to our knowledge about a litter of puppies with a mom. And this puppy was then later sold to somebody else in a different county and developed rabies actually within 10 days of being exposed to that rabid skunk.
Did not receive any boosting.
Did not receive any boosting.
Because it was fast.
Yes, it was actually shorter than, because we actually consulted with, I think it was CDC, but yeah, 10 days.
Hi, Rick Vogt, also from Colorado. I think you have tantalizing evidence about supporting the policy that you're talking about, but I'm worried about sample size. I mean, really talking about a small number that have really been evaluated in this particular scenario, and I don't know if I would jump in with both feet until you had more data.
Right, and of course, we only have the data that we have. You know, an animal's only tested when they're suspected to have rabies, and of course, we can only evaluate the contacts of those animals. I can tell you we are currently working with Kansas State to maybe do a potential, another tighter study with boosting completely unvaccinated animals throughout their quarantine period. So maybe that'll be more data to support moving forward with this recommendation.
Hi, Karen Klink from the Minnesota Department of Health. I'm actually interested in your three unvaccinated animals that were bitten that never developed rabies. Do you have any information about them, like how long after their quarantine period was over that you were, you know, followed up and they were still alive?
So the process of following up, at exactly at 6 months, local health department will follow up to deem that they've survived or not. So we have that information, but I honestly don't know the scenario specifically for those three. I do know one was bit on the tail, and they went through quarantine. So there was a documented bite exposure. I don't know if they received boosters throughout the quarantine period. That's the only one I can think off the top of my head. Sorry.
Hi, Andy New in New York State Department of Health. Nice talk. In regards to those three dogs or three animals, do you have any confidence in knowing whether they were completely unvaccinated before or they were just assumed to be unvaccinated because there were no records?
That's a good point. So we lumped unknown into unvaccinated because there was no information to tell one way or the other because, like I said, the local health department conducts the investigations and they put this information into our surveillance system, which we then review. So they will just mark unvaccinated, probably for somebody who doesn't have documentation, because they're treated as unvaccinated, so in their mind, that's what they did.
I just didn't know if you went back, made any effort to go back on those three and just do a little digger.
It's a good idea to see if there was some vaccine at some point in their life. Thank you.
Hi, Andrew Hanman, District of Columbia Department of Health. I had a question. I noticed when you were looking at the unvaccinated pets that two of them that died were actually hit by cars. Was that because they escaped, or was there non-compliance on the owner's part? And if so, what was kind of the major to make sure that these 6 month at-home quarantine periods were strictly enforced?
Right. So it's very difficult for us to know all that information. Because, like I said, it's all managed at the local health departments. And the details I know about it is one was hit by a motor vehicle and one was hit by a train. I honestly don't know if they escaped quarantine or if because what most local health departments do is they will do a surprise visit to make sure they're still in quarantine. And I don't know what fell through with those, if they escaped or the owners were not complying with the, 6 month quarantine and were just running about and they got hit.
Do we have any more questions for Chelsea?
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.